Welcome to the Health Ranger Report here on Brighteon.com and Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Hope you're enjoying our nice field of greens scene that we have today, because we're here talking about nature. We have some very special guests who are joining us to help protect our natural energy, our true bioelectrical fields that actually underpin the physical structure upon which that is actually constructed, believe it or not. And we're going to be joined here by Hope and Tavon, and the website is ftwproject.com, which means fix the world. And they're also known as Hope Girl. You can find them at hopegirlblog.com. So Hope and Tavon, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Mike. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for your patience. We had a few little studio glitches getting you on, so I appreciate you having patience. And I know you live on a homestead. You've got dogs there. I've got my dog in the studio right here, except he's sleeping over there, but he may join us at some time. You never know. Random things can happen. He might try to eat the microphone. He's done that a few times. But anyway, welcome. Relax. We're going to have a fun conversation.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Thank you for having us on.
Absolutely. Well, so introduce yourselves, please, to our audience. And actually, this is the first time that we have spoken. We've been trying to get you on for a while, but please introduce yourselves and what you're about, because you have created some really interesting, innovative things that I think can help a lot of people.
Okay. So we are we're a power couple. We've started our business a couple of years ago. And initially, our business is mainly dealing with EMF protection. But in the beginning, what it came from is we're both very electrosensitive to EMF. For me, I was very sensitive. I came out of a bad experience and had to find out what was going on with how I was affected with sleep, restless nights, all kinds of different things that I thought I was healthy at the time. And I tried to try to do some research together as to what might be the cause, the root cause, the problem. Anyway, it got really bad to where I couldn't even sleep days on end. And we started to look at things like diet, do all kinds of research. And what it came down to is Hope's mother had a device, a material, a composite material that she gave me one day. And she said, "Why don't you try having this in the bed with you?" And I was very skeptical at the time. And I wasn't sure what is this composite, this epoxy with aluminum shavings, what is this supposed to do for me? You know, I'm coming from a technical background. I'm a technician by trade, in electronics and so forth, computer science. And so I was very skeptical, but when I had this in the bed with me, it was the first time I was able to sleep in 2 weeks.
That's wild.
And then I started, then I started to figure out
I have a lot more questions for you, but I want to introduce Hope as well. And then I want to get back to asking you about the sources of the exposure. But Hope, can you introduce yourself as well, please?
Yes, so I go by Hope Girl on the internet. My full name is Naima, in case you hear Tavon call me that by mistake, but everybody knows me as Hope. And so I've been running a blog for alternative media for over 10 years now. And my family works in energy technology. That's how I met my husband, Tavon. He's an engineer. We were building electric generators, and it merged into this business for making EMF protection products by hand. And we live on a homestead outside of Marrakesh, Morocco. We're American expats that live here.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that's basically, and we're Christians, and we run our business and take care of our family here. And you might really know us from the amount of research that we've been doing before COVID about all kinds of the EMFs, dangers of 5G and things along those lines. We've done a lot of research on that. But once COVID struck, we've really been doing a huge amount of research. So you might have seen some videos with us where we're doing research on the vaccines, on the link between 5G and EMF and the vaccines and the COVID agenda and all that stuff.
I want to ask you about
that. And we've been following
that.
You, Mike, forever.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. That's nice to hear. But I noticed you're wearing a pendant. Is that one of the things that you two make?
Yes.
What can you?
Yes. So these are our pendants.
Yeah, tell us about it. What is that?
So the way that we make our products, we take a composite of natural ingredients. Here's one of the pendants. It's a composite of natural ingredients that is shungite, quartz crystal, iron oxide, and a few other metal powders into an epoxy resin. And when that cures into a state, it creates the piezoelectric effect, which creates a field that emanates from the objects. And this field can be measured scientifically through things like seed germination, better plant growth and yields, and a number of different ways. We have a whole bunch of scientific stuff on our website that shows the science behind this and how it works. But that field is a life-preserving energy that transforms the negative effects of EMFs around you into healthy life-preserving energy.
So this is really critical. Thank you for that explanation, because you're not coming at this from an angle of like, oh, it's just magic. You know, that's not it at all. It's straight physics. It's what you're describing is, as you say, in alignment with the laws of physics and the laws of you know, the way the universe was created by our creator. Tavon, you have a background in what you said, a technician in electronics. What can you say about the field effect of this, and how does it redirect, or does it block the electro pollution that's so, you know, common in the world around us? How does it work, if kind of in layman's terms, if you could?
Sure. In general, it redirects, it transforms the energy that's already present. Now, there is a secondary component, but that's just because of the materials that we happen to be using in our composite. For example, we have iron oxide, which is a natural blocker of microwave radiation. That just happens to be an ingredient, but that's not primarily how these devices work. They take the energy, the toxic EMFs, the electromagnetic fields that's already in the environment, and it transforms the effects of those fields. So it's not as toxic when you have these devices on or around you or near your pets or near your plants. So it generally creates a buffer. It basically changes the electromagnetic properties of these fields.
So to anybody who's listening to this and is skeptical, which I think is the right attitude. We want evidence, and we want to be skeptical about all these things. But, you know, how do radios work? Well, a transistor radio is a component that vibrates in synchronicity to electromagnetic waves that are being propagated through, you know, just through space. And so that causes a passive piece of material to vibrate at that same frequency. I mean, radios work this way, folks. This right, Tavon?
Absolutely, Mike. You nailed it. These function on the same principle. These fields that are in the environment, it creates these small fluctuations within the bulk material itself. So what ends up radiating is like this harmonizing field, and it's a lot more compatible with life in general. And when you have one, like for example, one of our the products here is a sleeping pod, and we made this so that you can have it in the bed with you without you noticing, because it's so smooth. If you have it near you, it basically absorbs and transforms these fields that are near you. If you're like in a crowded city, or you're just very electrosensitive, and you get a much deeper rest. It's one of our best selling things we have on offer.
Yeah, and it cured my insomnia. I've been sleeping like a baby for about 6 or 7 years now because of that. I have it every night.
Okay, for your sake, let me give out your website of where people can find these products. And by the way, just to be clear, you're not an advertiser with us, and we're not an affiliate of yours. This is just a straight up, you know, interview with some interesting solutions. But what's the website where people can find you?
It's FDW Project. FTWproject.com.
Okay, fix the world, FTWproject.com. And I have that website up, and they can find your products there. Oh, I see. Sleeping pods, phone shields, things like that. Okay. All right. Very, very interesting to note, but a couple of questions. A house I used to live in, I had an EMF meter at one point, and this was like 15 years ago, and I was checking out the house with the EMF meter, and I came to find out that the bed was right underneath the breaker box.
Oh, which
is
wow.
And it's just like, zzz, 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 like buzzing, oh, like crazy. Wow, yeah. The breaker box is right there. So that isn't, in a home, isn't that the number one emanating source of electromagnetic pollution in the home?
Yes, Mike. Actually, there's been at least one European university that has done studies with picking up signals off of the metallic coils in your box spring, in your mattress,
no
in
way.
Your mattresses. And yes, and basically the result was they you could basically tune that the mattress acts like a giant antenna, and you actually have good fidelity with the FM stations.
You can
pick up all kinds of frequencies off that. So if you're sleeping on that and you're electrosensitive, you're literally buzzing with all of these signals that are bouncing within the coils.
Okay, totally freaky. I'm really glad you brought that up. And by the way, I only sleep on pure latex foam, and I've done that for I think 15 years. I don't sleep on coils or anything of the kind. Latex foam mattresses, and I don't believe in the memory foam toxic synthetic chemical garbage out there either, because I have issues with that. But you must know both of you, there are published scientific studies that talk about electropollution causing blood sugar imbalances in electrosensitive people. Can either of you speak to that or your knowledge in that area?
I'm speaking from experience. When I was going through the worst of my electrosensitive symptoms, I did have problems with inflammation, things related to what you'd call like a pre-diabetic disposition. In my family, there is a history of onset diabetes, and I thought I was healthy, and I was jogging regularly. But I found that when I ate certain foods, it didn't matter how much I worked out, I'd be inflamed and I'd have problems with my weight, and I would get sick more often. And then I started to do research with the tie-in to electrosensitivity, insomnia, and diabetes. And I ran across all kinds of, PubMed papers and published work by researchers, by doctors, talking about the relationship between electrosensitivity, electromagnetic exposure, and how it can affect your blood sugar and basically worsen your predisposition towards things like diabetes.
That's a very real thing. And I've even read cases of some people who, when they get on a treadmill, because of the electric motor on the treadmill, which is emanating this very powerful electromagnetic field, even though they're trying to exercise and they're trying to take care of their health, they have a blood sugar drop right there on the treadmill because of the EMF factor. Have you heard of that happening with people? Because I've seen write-ups of that.
Well, actually, we had some personal experience. We have somebody here on our team, because we have a gym here on our homestead that we use. And this person was very, very sensitive to EMFs. And they had just come out of the airport with all the EMF that goes on in airports, which is probably one of the worst places for that. And they came here and they decided to work out on the treadmill. And they had a bit of an episode that we think might be caused by exactly what you were just saying, the EMF coming from the treadmill.
I think also maybe because of the speaker, we have a speaker system in there, and it's too loud with the bass. I think all those things play.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 Anecdotally, a lot of people have experience with this, and electric vehicles brings up this whole different question of, some people want to get rid of combustion engines and they don't want to have that as a source of, quote, pollution, but then you have this now electropollution that you're sitting in a kind of a cage of, potentially a lot of electropollution. And those motors are powerful. Obviously they can, they accelerate a couple thousand pound vehicle, and the EVs are even heavier than regular vehicles because of the batteries. So now you're rolling down the road, getting all this, it's like sitting inside a MRI, not an mRNA, but an MRI machine almost. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have seen some of the recent videos where people were taking their electric vehicle, let's say, and they were charging it at a charging station, and they put a tri-field meter next to the charging port, and they were getting, it was maxing out their tri-field meter. And the question I have, Mike, is, I have a personal interest in electric vehicles, but more of what I remember used to be, like in the 80s, 90s, where you could take a Volkswagen Beetle and rip out the guts and put in, you know, a deep cycle battery, an electric motor, and that kind of thing. And my question is, the traditional electric vehicle, does it emit the high frequency RF that is coming off of these new, you know, corporation bought electric vehicles? Because, you know, the frequencies that are coming off these things, the charging stations are just through the roof. And it's like, what kind of charging is this?
Yeah,
and even if it's and is good design practice, you'd expect the whole charging setup, the circuit, to be shielded.
Well, but the challenge with electric vehicles is that the charging typically takes a long amount of time. So in order to reduce that time, they're increasing both the voltage and the amperage, right? So now they want to say, well, you can charge it in 30 minutes. But the only way to charge in 30 minutes is if that thing is pushing a massive amount of amps through, and it's not shielded. There's no shielding. It's just like, you're standing there, you're inside a giant electrocoil machine, basically. You know, good luck.
I mean, microwave.
It's really bad. It's really bad. I wouldn't be in one of those. I mean, I saw a video recently where someone was actually inside the car and they put the tri-field meter in and it was maxed out in the car. If you're on even by electric vehicle standards, if you're driving 100 miles, I mean, that's you're just being immersed.
Well, yeah, and it's the electric motors that are driving the vehicle, which is orders of magnitude more power than just, let's say, the electronics in a gasoline vehicle, right? So, you know, your dashboard and your radio and stuff. I mean, that's still something, but it's not much compared to powering the vehicle. But anyway, moving off of that subject, let's talk about your solutions because, okay, you talked about you have the sleeping pod that you put it in the bed with you, and does it help within a range? Like, does it cover the whole bed for, you know, two people sleeping in a bed?
Yeah, we get that question a lot about how, like, cause we sell them in sets of two also. We think that having one per person is a good idea because a lot of people, like, I like to hold it right next to my chest because, you know, that's where a lot of the anxiety might be. So if you hold it in your hand and put it right here, this is how I fall asleep. So that's why you would want to have one per person. But you can put it under your pillow. You could put it on the nightstand next to the bed, and it does cover the entire bed. And we've gotten so many testimonies, which are on our website as well, about people saying that they haven't slept like that in years.
Wow.
After trying our sleeping pods, and that they really swear by them.
I just want to give just a general idea of what we were thinking along our research when we made these. We were following something in the community online that would be called Organite. And when you type that word in, you get all kinds of different things, but we were trying to stick to the original science by the late Dr. Wilhelm Reich, where he discovered that if you made containers, boxes of alternating layers of metal and nonmetal, that the energy that's within that container is different. The potential is different than outside of the container by these layers, just by the layering. So over time, people realized that instead of having sheets, if you want to increase surface area, you'd have powders similar to a capacitor. And so that your non-metal is the epoxy, the epoxy matrix itself, and the metal or the particulates inside of it is the metallic or conductive element inside of it. So we made these things. We tried to make it so that it was more ergonomic. We have a set of things all made from the same composite, but we have some devices that you'd actually have in the environment around you, in the fridge to preserve your food longer, around the home or in the garden. But we also have pieces like the sleeping pod that are meant to be close to you or on you or worn on you as personal protection around your body. And the whole point of that was to change the electromagnetic properties around your body. Around your or on your skin if you're wearing the pendant. And by changing those electromagnetic properties, the fields that come through your body aren't as toxic, and some of it actually gets absorbed by the material itself.
So 5G, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hmm. There's a couple things, Mike, I think you might be really interested in. There's something called a Reich blood test, where they took two samples of blood and they put some blood in a box that had this orgone energy field in it. And it shows that it actually preserved the life of the blood. You can see the blood cells staying, and they're slowing the decay of the blood cells. So it's like a fountain of youth for the blood. We have a video about that science study on our website.
Well, that's fascinating to hear, but I'm wanting proof of that. So I would want to see lots of like samples of yeah. If you can protect an area like that and run lab tests, can you see less pollution inside the protected area than outside? Because right now there's a lot of people in East Ohio that would certainly want to have less pollution raining down on them, for sure.
Wow. But
I'm open to what you're saying. I'm just saying we need to study this and see.
Yes.
Go ahead, Tavon. I think you kind of approached this from the same angle, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the direction that we're going with the changing the properties around the skin. So when you have them close to you, you're changing, especially with 5G. You mentioned 5G. There was, I think, the University of Tel Aviv. There's a professor there that had concerns about 5G. This is back in 2016, 2017, where he said those frequencies that within the 5G platform, the higher frequencies have the tendency to not just go through the body, but they also travel across your skin. Depending on what frequency it is, it travels across your body differently. Now, these frequencies that travel across your skin also travel across your pores, the hair follicles, and the hair follicles act like antenna at those frequencies. And those frequencies get into your pores and they actually trigger your nerve endings.
Oh, wow. That makes sense.
So now you're dealing with what would be called like surface waves. These fields travel across your skin. So there's no question that exists.
Yeah. I mean, the skin also it conducts electricity, obviously. So
exactly. So if you have something that is able to absorb or change those electromagnetic properties on your body, it just happens that 5G with those frequencies, key frequencies in that range, negatively impact human beings and life in general.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We were citing studies before talking about how 5G penetrates into the skin, into the tissues and blood, and then it generates peroxynitrites, which are the worst free radicals, the oxidation radicals of the worst kind in the body. And so if you're living on, this is the thing, if you're living on junk food, you know, instead of good nutrition, like I always have my smoothies here and everything. But if you're living on junk food and you have 5G, it's almost like a binary weapon that will just destroy your tissues. You'll have rapid aging, by the way. And then if you add spike protein to that, I mean, imagine you're aging at like quadruple the normal pace. But if you have some 5G exposure and you have really good nutrition to counteract it, then it might kind of cancel out. You'd be much better off. But you'd be even better off to have good nutrition and no 5G exposure. Right? You agree with that?
Absolutely. We also mentioned, we have people email us saying, "What? I live in this house. I'm surrounded by these towers. What can I do?" And I mean, we admit there's only so much you can do. Look, if you're in a neighborhood and you're surrounded by 5G towers, we're going to possibly ask you to maybe consider some other options.
Moving.
Like moving being one of them.
Yeah,
but
it's like a bulletproof vest.
Yeah,
it works if it's far enough away, but if you're shot at point blank range, it can still hurt you, or sometimes go through the bulletproof vest. It's sort of like that. People say there's a giant tower right outside my bedroom window. Can your products help to protect me from that? And it's like, well, a little bit, but we're not going to say that it can help that much if you're that close to a tower. So just to be like realistic and honest about that,
let me ask you too. So I would guess that for people watching, if they're interested in trying one of these products, I mean, first of all, there's no intervention. There's no harm to you. I mean, try it, see what it does for you. I have no idea, but do you offer, just like a satisfaction guarantee if people want to try it and buy it and try it and see if it works for them? Can they return it if they don't think it works?
Yes, we do. We do have a return policy, which is listed on our website. So if you want to try it and it doesn't work out for you, you can return the items to us. That's not a problem.
And we also give advice dealing with, in general, because we have it on our blog post as well. You know, you need to eat healthy. You need to, if you, especially if you're electrosensitive and one of the main sources for your problem is the fact that you're living in a toxic soup, is to make sure, like you said, Mike, eat healthy. There are foods you can eat that boost your immune system so that you can your body actually is more defensive against toxic EMF fields. Also, to have an environment in your home where you're not exposed to RF fields at night. We tell our customers, we tell even close friends of ours, you know, you shouldn't have your cell phone turned on in the room with you, in your bedstand next to you where you're trying to sleep.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have the router on in the house and the smart TV's on and your computer's on. You know, those things, I mean, especially me, I had to turn all that stuff off. Then we changed our mattress to the latex, and we did a series of things so that we made sure we reduced our exposure to these things. And if you're living in a place that you're in the city and there's a lot of exposure, let's say from your neighbors with their activity, let's say you do have a cell tower within a quarter mile or a few blocks away, there are things you can do around the home that doesn't require you, for example, to buy our products. There's things you can putting metal screens in your windows, like the way the houses used to be. I mean, a lot of houses, new builds now, they don't have metal screens in the windows. And those alone will block a lot of RF coming from the outside environment. There's RF shielding paint you can get that will absorb those fields coming into your home. So if you have a smart meter that you can't take out for whatever reason, and it's on the outside of the home, and let's say it just happens to be the same wall that your bed, the headboard to your bed is on, there's RF paints that can shield that kind of activity. Also, there's EMI filters or electromagnetic interference filters you can get to shield the AC line coming into your home, because a lot of dirty electricity that comes into your home is actually the result of all this other activity, including cell tower activity that rides along the power line.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, let me ask you about the future of where all this is going, because we're being pushed into a future where they want us to wear like embedded textiles and clothing with all these smart chips. And smart means you're going to be their slave, basically. Anytime they say smart, they mean surveillance, right? But they want to have everything, the Internet of Things, everything around you is a surveillance system. And then they want to embed them. You know, here, take this microchip under your skin, right? Have this Neuralink system implanted into your freaking skull, right? I mean, are you insane? Who would want to do that? You know, I mean, look, I understand like treating maybe injured veterans or people who maybe they were born, you know, without eyesight, the visually impaired. And, you know, I can see cases like that. But if somebody doesn't need electronics in their skull, why would you open up their skull and stuff it in there? That just seems insane to me. But this is the whole trend of where things are going. They want to turn us into Borgs. This is the Borgification of humanity. Your comments. Go ahead.
It absolutely is the Borgification of humanity with the COVID agenda, because we've been really digging into the nanotechnology, not just in the vaccines, but also in the environment, in the chemtrails. We've been looking at the different studies about hydrogels and things like that. And, you know, that's been like our area of study and research. And it's horrifying when you think about they're trying to put this stuff inside of your body, outside on your clothing. And it is definitely turning you into the Internet of Bodies. You know, for what? For control. I mean, there's patents out there that talk about how this nanotechnology can actually work with mind control. It could affect your brain and control the way you think and all different types of things about humanity. And it essentially cuts us off from our creator. It cuts us off from God.
That's the thing. Yeah,
it's horrifying.
That's the critical point. It cuts us off from God, and because they're all pushing transhumanism, and so they don't want anybody to actually have that connection to your divine creator, the connection through consciousness, spirit, free will, all of that. I mean, that's why we're showing the fields of green scene here today, which I know is a little dizzying, but it's okay. we had to slow it down, and it looks odd, but We're all about that. You got to have the connection to God and to self. And this comes through, you know, taking advantage of the things that God and Mother Nature have provided us. Give me a minute, just in fact, to mention, to plug some of our food solutions here. Okay, so I can't really read it from my monitor, but we've got, these are called mega buckets, and these are lab tested, certified organic food buckets that have these individual packs of lentils or barley, or we've got flax seeds. I think one of these is flaxseed, you know, really healthy omega-3 oils in there. And they're individually packed with these vacuum sealed bricks for super long-term storage. And you know, you guys see what I drink, you know, right here. This is my superfood smoothie. And we do a lot with our company about helping people with nutrition. But what you do, Tavon and Hope, what you do is sort of, you know, electromagnetic detox, I guess. Would that be a correct way to describe it?
Yeah, we definitely focus on the technological aspects. I mean, we do practice a lot of the things that you're talking about as well with our homestead. We grow our own food. All of our meat is locally sourced. We stay away from GMOs. We do organic. We make our own green smoothie stuff with our super greens. I have a dehydrator right here. I'm dehydrating our kale harvest and the Swiss chard, and we make smoothies and stuff. And so we do the best that we can. We're not perfect, obviously, but we really do try to implement all of those things. But EMF protection and technology is kind of like our calling. Yes. We, you know, we're Christians, and it's like our assignment from God. He's like, this is what I want you to do to help people. And it's really just a real joy to be able to work in this and to help people, because a lot of people have really come to us with tons of questions. And there's a real need, because people are really starting to feel the effects of all of the additional infrastructure of 5G towers and 4G towers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't stopped setting up that infrastructure. There's just more and more.
This is what's amazing. So you know how industry uses all these rare earth metals to reform into like circuitry and systems that enslave people and kill people. But you're using the similar elements, which are gifts from God, to protect people from those systems. So it can be the same elements. It's just how they are configured or layered, as you were saying, Tavon, or how these elements are arranged, or the proximity, or what they're combined with. So, you know, you can take the physical matter of the universe, and some evil people can make weapons out of it, or systems of control or enslavement, and other people can use those same elements to make systems that protect you and set you free. So I'm just glad that you're working on Team Humanity. You're on our side.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Mike. Likewise. Thank you.
So how would you like to kind of wrap up, what thoughts would you want to leave in people's minds about this? I mean, this has been a really fascinating introduction. First of all, I would definitely like to try one of your products. If you don't mind sending me one, I'd like to try it and give people my comments. But what do you want to leave people with in terms of this interview?
Well, we did have a couple of slides that we really wanted to ask you that one question about that. But as far as the EMF concept goes, we also wanted to throw something at you to see if you're interested, because right now we're kind of doing an open call for cattle farmers. We have been talking to some cattle farmers who are having problems with their milk production because their cows are near cell phone towers, 5G towers, and power lines as well. So the milk production is really decreasing, and they're saying, what can I do to protect the cattle from the EMF in the area that they have no control over on their ranch? So we're trying to do some experiments to see if maybe we could take something like, for example, this is one of our garden pucks, right? And drill a hole through this, put this on a collar around a cow.
Or in the back of the head, you know, on the
right?
neck.
Right, to see if this helps, and also some other methods too, to see if that can help increase the milk production.
Including shielding maybe the barn that contains the stall where the cows are.
And the reason why we're thinking about this is because there have been some fascinating shungite has been used to prevent bee colony collapse. Could you just tell them about that quickly?
So there is a group of beekeepers called shungite. They're like shungite beekeepers, shungite beehives. Shungite is this mineral, is one of our main minerals or components or ingredients we put in our composite.
It's in all of our stuff. We use shungite.
It's a natural carbon-based source of fullerenes, Mike. So if you put it through an electron microscope, it's like fullerenes within fullerenes. Wow. It's found within one place in the planet. It's found in Russia. Russian scientists have been looking at this mineral for decades.
It's used for cleaning up nuclear radiation.
Yeah, nuclear radiation.
Like Fukushima. They use it to clean up some parts of Fukushima.
Yeah. It also is good for removing contamination. It takes all the toxic elements and holds it within its fullerene cage. And then that element basically decomposes, if that's even believable, but that's what they claim, these scientists. It also has this property of taking electromagnetic fields and changes the fields to a more beneficial field on its own. So
bees are very sensitive, yes, to those electromagnetic fields. So yes, they use the shungite, mm-hmm, in the beehives, and because the bees were dying. Because of all
have,
of the 5G towers.
Colony collapse disorder is well documented, but
yes,
also, of course, there are a lot of pesticides and herbicides that are killing a lot of bees at the,
yes,
moment. But yeah, the electromagnetic interference is definitely one of the vectors. So yeah, you're,
yes,
saying
so
they've had success with shungite in colonies?
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. These particular researchers or beekeepers were, they found that with their bees, that they were declining until they started taking the paint that they use for painting outside the beehive and adding shungite powder to it,
huh,
as a form of shielding for the beehive.
Wow.
And then they're also taking some of the, because it's a rock that you can mine, they're taking bits of the shungite rock and putting it at the entrance. So these bees are going in, basically tracking in bits of the shungite there, you know, and doing what they do. And their population quadrupled within the season. Instead of collapsing. And so the conclusion that these beekeepers concluded were that the electromagnetic radiation in the environment, because bees are hypersensitive to it, was impacting their immune system, so that things like mites or immune deficiency, fungus, was killing these bees, and that's what was causing the collapse. But when they shielded their beehives with this mineral, these bees came back and actually stronger and more robust, and they,
wow,
basically reversed bee collapse.
Well, we better hurry up with these kinds of solutions. We need to do more research. We need to, you know, document it among a wide number of beekeepers, because I've seen stories in Europe where we have an insect biomass collapse of about 70% to 80% right now compared to just a few decades ago. And, you know, we can't survive as a species with that kind of, if that continues, if you get to 95% insect biomass collapse, your whole ecosystem implodes and you all die. Basically, is where that goes. So humanity is like a suicide cult, is what I say, but not everybody, right? So there are people like you and myself and many others who are trying to say, wait a second, let's not kill ourselves. Let's not kill every living thing on this planet. Like, let's not find the most toxic chemicals in the world and figure out how to make money off them. Instead, let's stop making them and let's turn back to nature, right? And I think that's what you're doing, is in alignment with nature and with these amazing gifts that God has given us. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we're just trying to fix the world.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go. Fix the world. That's your website. Let me give that out again. FTWproject.com, fixtheworldproject.com. Now, you wanted to talk about one of these slides. You sent me a couple of slides.
Yeah.
What do you want to
say
about that?
We've been waiting months to ask you this one question, Mike,
okay,
because of the... Because you're the only one that did the analysis on those white fibrous clots that from Richard Hirschman.
Yeah.
So we did an interview with Dr. Jane Ruby a while back, and she was like, "You really should talk to Mike about this." So here we are. The first slide is because our theory that we've been trying to look at this whole time is, this is the technology that they're putting inside of these vaccines, the nanotechnology that's in the patents showing that they're putting it inside of these vaccines. And we do have all that stuff documented in our research and work. So you you know, we try to back up everything
we say. Yeah, we've covered that extensively with our guests.
Yeah. We try to really back up everything we say with the science and the documentation. So is the technology that they're putting inside of these vaccines going into people's bodies growing some kind of antenna that's then being activated by the 5G or EMF in the environment? And our main thing we wanted to show you, we had two slides. The first one is just kind of a recap of your work, Mike, when you showed all of the findings from your analysis that you did on that. So it's basically just saying that it's not blood. It didn't have enough of the components that you would need for blood, but it has these three different ingredients in it: sodium, tin, and aluminum, which are highly electrical conductive elements. So that got our interest. And you said, you know, tin is used for circuit boards, right?
Oh, yeah.
One of the things. And Tavon's an electrical engineer, so you know this is his language. And he's speaking. So the next slide, slide number two, is what we wanted to be able to show you. And that is a fractal antenna. I don't know if you know what a fractal antenna is, but if maybe Tavon could just explain it to you and your audience, because our question is, are these things acting like fractal antennas, these white fibrous clots?
Hold on a second. Dang it. Why is this popping up? Okay. Guys, can you show camera one and do you see these? These are the fractal antennas that Hope and Tavon are talking about there. And they look like the shape of arteries. Like if you took modeling of the capillaries or arteries or blood vessels, and if they were conductive, they would resemble a fractal antenna, which is what they're talking about. But yeah, go ahead, Tavon. Explain fractal antennas. I just want to show people that image on the laptop.
Well, it's exactly as you say, Mark. Fractal antenna, I mean, these are courses that can be taught at a lot of the major universities now, but they tend to take on organic structures. You see example of one on the left, that's three-dimensional, and the one on the right is a two-dimensional, resembling a circuit board almost. And what they basically are either geometric or organic patterns where you have a lot of geometry within a very small space. And it's found that the best way to do that is to follow nature, because nature is very efficient at creating things like that. So I end up taking on branches, rivers, streams, arteries. And by doing that, every branch, every small structure within this fractal represents a frequency it can receive. So fractal antennas are very efficient at picking up both a broad range of frequencies from the larger wavelengths to the very small wavelengths, depending on the dimension of these.
Right, because so every branch of the fractal shape is a different length, but then in the aggregate, they are longer. So they, like you said, it's kind of a broad spectrum antenna that can pick up all these frequencies. I never thought about the fact that if they're forming conductive clots, which are self-assembling in the vascular system, that the topology of the vascular system is shaped like a fractal antenna. That's bombshell. This is amazing.
And Tavon, could you please explain the image on the left the IEEE? Could you explain from that study how that fractal antenna was formed? It was like inside of a bucket with different ingredients, and it self-assembled itself that way.
Well, you pretty much
explain it better than I am. You're the engineer.
Well, Mike, we also brought this to Dr. Ruby also, that the one on the left is an IEEE paper. Demonstration of a three-dimensional fractal antenna that's made from a copper. It's a copper-based growth that was done in a vat. So if you take this at the bottom, what you see there is the actual coax emitter, microwave emitter. So you have to take that and turn it upside down, and they put the tip of that into like a vat of chemicals. So this is like electrochemistry. And when they applied a voltage, they were able to get this copper organic crystalline shape form. And then they ran it through a bunch of microwave tests as a transmitter and as a receiver. And it acted like a fractal antenna, a very efficient antenna with the frequencies that it was designed for.
And while it was forming, it was pulling whatever ingredients out of
the vat
and forming it into itself, which is very similar, it sounds, to what your one of your observations were for the fibrous clots, that they were taking the ingredients out of the blood and assimilating it into itself. And correct me if I said that wrong, but it just sounded very similar to us.
Well, this is freaky. I'm showing it again here. The fractal shapes that you're talking about that are kind of self-forming. And again, if you look at this, it really does resemble the topology of the circulatory system, which also works in the same way. Yeah, guys, you can go to a different camera now. Same way as like rivers and streams and a lot of natural geological phenomenon out there are also represented inside the body at a different scale. This is just extraordinary. You know, when I was doing the ICP-MS tests on these clots, it really mm-hmm. shocked me that the tin levels were so high, and also aluminum and sodium. And all three of those are highly conductive. Tin is used in solder for circuit boards. Aluminum is a replacement for copper in electrical wiring. And sodium is highly, highly conductive. It's what makes, salt water conductive, by the way. And sodium is all in your body, so it's part of what makes your body conductive. So the fact that those three things were heightened in the clots told me, and I guess this is my answer to you, is that something, somehow, some mechanism inside the body was rejecting iron, because there's not much iron in these so-called clots, whatever they are, fibrous clots, but it was accumulating from the blood supply tin, sodium, and aluminum at much higher levels than what's found in blood. So from there, there's 1,000 theories. I don't know which theory is right, but these are electrically conductive clots. Yeah.
And we did have just a few suggestions. We don't have all of this equipment, and we certainly don't have mm-hmm. access to a clot. But these are just suggestions of different types of technological tests that could be run on these clots if anybody has the ability to do so. So do these fibrous clots change dimension when stimulated by EMF pulse? Instantaneous thermal heated associated with these clots and structures when stimulated by EMFs? Okay. And also, do these structures have resonant frequencies in the mega and gigahertz range with low loss? So wow. These are just good some question. Of the questions we wanted to pose.
Well, we're going to need, an electrical engineer out there to help answer those questions and run some experiments on some of these fibrous clots, basically. But we can show they're conductive just with simple household tools, but all these other things are going to require some highly experienced individuals to run those tests. Yeah. Great questions, though. You've really thought this through. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
It's really exciting to be able to ask you this question after all this time, because you're the only one who got your hands on one of those things and did your own analysis on it. So,
well,
thank you.
I'm definitely going to talk about this in my next podcast, the fractal antennas. That is just, that's a breakthrough concept. It's really amazing that I know you've studied Dr. Charles Lieber and his patents and the nanotech and the self-assembling nanotech in the body, the biocircuitry. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. We'll see where it goes. But
awesome.
Overall, I want to thank you for taking the time to share this with us and for what you do and for your thoughts and just your passion for this. And, I'm serious. I'd love to try your product myself and just give you my feedback or share it publicly about what I think is happening. And also, if you send me a few of them, there's a few key people that I can lend them to or give them to who can give me some feedback, because I know some electrosensitive people. Now, about the cattle, I don't know any dairy farmers. The farmers, the ranchers that I know are just raising cattle for meat, but I'm sure if you put out the call that you're looking for dairy ranchers who wanted to try this on their dairy cattle, I'm sure you'd get lots of people raising their hands and saying, yeah, we'd love to try that.
Excellent. And there's a contact us form on our website. So if you're one of those people, please just go there and send us an email. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Very good. And you said you're in Morocco, correct?
We are in Morocco.
Yeah, Marrakesh.
Okay. So it's getting kind of late there for you then right now, huh?
That's all right.
That's okay. Fine.
We're used to it.
but your signal's coming in loud and clear, so you're getting good bandwidth there in Morocco. So thank you for staying up late for us. All right, so let me just give out your web address one more time. FTW Project, which means, fix the world, right? Fixtheworldproject.com or FTWproject.com. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's definitely FTWproject.com. You'll see our products on the front page and a picture of Tavon making the products by hand. So
okay, all right, and it's easy to remember, folks. It's just WTF backwards. it's the opposite of what's wrong with the world. So it actually fits.
Some days, Mike.
Okay, FTWproject.com. Not WTF Project, which would be something totally different. So it's Hope and Tavon, and thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate all that you're doing and all your patience while we got this working.
Likewise, Mike. Thank you
Same
very
here.
Much.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right. Thank you. And for those of you watching, thank you for watching. I hope you found this informative and enjoyable. As always, you can share this video on your own channels and other platforms as well. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, where we can have these kinds of free speech conversations without censorship. And feel free to use Brighteon.com yourself. You can start your own channel and post your own videos without being censored. So thank you for joining me. Mike Adams here again, founder of Brighteon.com. We've been talking with Hope and Tavon from FTWproject.com. Take care. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.